which is encourage. Then we're going to talk about Q, which is quality time. Then U, understanding. Then we're going to talk about invest, I for the I. And then the last one is going to be, we're going to kind of split that up, and I'll tell you more in detail. But it's prayer, and also, I'm not getting all weird on you guys, but part of relationships is physical touch, and I'll elaborate. I'm not getting weird on you guys, okay?
Like hugs all
so, like, we're going to be talking about handshakes, you know, guys, bro hugs, women hugging. We're going to talk about that, okay? We're going to talk about appropriate, obviously, physical touch. So, that being said, if you guys want to turn to Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 37, we're going to go 37 through 40. Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. And as you guys are turning there, I want you guys to ask yourself this question. Think about all the different types of relationships that you have in your life. And think about, are you encouraging? Are you spending quality time? Are you an understanding person? Or, you know, is there prayer involved in these relationships? And every single different type of relationship needs these things, guys. Very, very important. So if you're there in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40, it says, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Okay, so these two are very important to God, right? So if they're important to God, they need to be extremely important to us as well. So, this is what I want to tell you. On my trip to California, kind of general here, we've been praying up to me going out there. My father's funeral's on Monday, flying out Saturday, praying, Lord, just, this is going to be like a little missionary trip. So I go out, and it started awesome. I go to the airport, right? I notice that I got a center seat. So I go to the ticket counter. I said, I need an aisle, preferably, or a window seat, because I got a bad back, and I just need to kind of do the gangster lean, you know, on the bus. Anyways, on the plane. So what do? I go up there. They say, no, you know, we don't have anything, da-da-da. And I was like, I'm going to give it a second try. I go, and they said, actually, somebody moved in their spot, and you can take an aisle seat. Perfect. Go on there. This young guy is 26, just graduated from college, UNT. He's a molecular biologist, and this guy is just a talker. And, you know, sometimes you go on a plane, you're just like, I don't want nobody to bother me. I used to always fly Southwest, and I purposely would put my bag next to the seat. And, you know, and when somebody's coming, I pretend like I'm asleep, you know, so they wouldn't sit next to me. You can't do that on American Airlines. You go, you got to pick your side. So go to see this guy starts talking, and I just said, okay, it's a three-hour flight. I'm a talker, too. So we're talking about second law of thermodynamics, DNA, information, and we're just going and going. I'm thinking, this is perfect. I go, in this short period of time, I'm going to try to establish a relationship with this guy. And we were just talking, and it was just like, and I, if you've ever talked to me, sometimes I'm like talking, and then like, squirrel. And I'm like over here, and it took everything. And my side and my neck were hurting, because here I am kind of, you know, doing the lean like this because my back's hurting. But I'm like this, and I'm thinking, I've got to make eye contact with this guy. And when he says something that I'm interested in, I'm going to let him know that I'm interested. And listen, what we're talking about tonight is not like a series on how to win people and influence friends, or whatever that book is called, okay? I wanted to be sincere. I hacked that book, huh? Is it How to Win Friends and Influence
People? You messed
people?
My brain up.
Okay. So anyways, I said, I'm going to be sincere with this guy. So then I'm just talking to this guy. And he's like, well, what about this? And then at first he was a little bit getting snooty with me, you know? And I said, man, that's a great question. And I'd answer it. Well, what about this? You know, what about the Big Bang and this and that? So we're like, the conservation of angular momentum, we're talking about. He's like, I just studied that. And you know, this is awesome. And he's just like, you know about that? I'm like, yeah. And then I go, dude, you're speaking my language. And he goes, well, how can you be a Christian and also like science? I said, because God made science. The proofs are there. I go, I go, tell me what they taught you about evolution. So he starts talking about it. So anyways, so I'm on the plane with this guy talking. And I start sharing the gospel with him. He was like, just listening. Okay. And I just said, I want you to think about that. If you were to die, if this plane crashes right now, where are you going to go? He's like, well, 3-4 hours ago, I'm thinking nowhere. We're just going to be gone. And I go, that concerns me, you know? I said, because I know where I'm going. I said, and for you to say that, I'm thinking, if I never saw you ever, ever again, I do want to see you in heaven, but if you don't know the Lord, I'm never going to see you again, dude. Never. So he was like, all right, I'll think about that. So I had to check my bag because, of course, everybody took all the spots and they're like, no more space. You got to check your bag. Oh, great, you know. So I go, I say, hey man, it was good talking with you. Shook his hand, and I, you know, he left, and then, you know, I had to leave real quick because then he was waiting for his bag up there. So I go, and then Pablo, I'm walking towards the baggage claim. I'm like, huh? Pablo, I said, did I forget something, you know? How do I know this Jesus? What do I do? Right there at the baggage claim, this guy accepts the Lord. Man. So you got, now I'm pumped. This is an awesome trip. You know, it's already really good. Sorry if I get a little emotional because, I mean, I was just like, man, Lord, you're so good.
That is awesome.
So I go and I see my brother, you know, and I'm fellowship with my brother. And then I go to his house and we're there. And I like UFC, so... He was like, we're watching I got the Conor McGregor fight, and we're going to whatever. And not so much a good time on Saturday night. You know, when you get a bunch of family members together that don't really like each other, you know, unfortunately you get some arguing and some fighting. And we had our own UFC fight in the other room. And then I text Sarah, I'm like, I just want to go home. It was hard, very, very hard. And it took everything. You guys, it took everything not to lash out. My flesh was coming up and I just wanted to go, well, what about your life? I mean, what about you and the things that you do? And you know, I was just like, that's my, and I'm like, the Lord's like, no, be kind, truth and love, just don't do it. Encourage. We're going to kind of graft all these things in. And again, guys, if you have any questions or if you want to throw a verse in there or share something, please do so. But the first portion of equip here is encourage. What are our words doing? Are our tongues building people up or tearing them down? We need to find every opportunity to pray with others and encourage them. It should not be something that is difficult. If finding fault in others seems more natural to you than seeing the good, then there's a problem. If you're constantly, and maybe you don't even know it right now, maybe you're like, oh man, I do. If you, when somebody tells you something and you're just kind of being critical and you're that type of person that tries to find like, well, you should be doing this or that. Well, is that really true? Or that? If you're that critical person, think about what you're doing because your words can hurt people. That whole saying, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words can never hurt me. That's a stupid saying. Whoever invented that saying is just, words can cut. Words can hurt. Words can cause people to commit suicide. Words can cause people to say, I will never be a Christian. If that is what being a Christian is, then I don't want any part of it. And if you have the attitude of, well, I'm saved, I'm good. If that's their attitude, if that's what, how they want to be, then that's... No, absolutely not. Don't be the sin sniffer. Many of us already know our faults, but we may not know all of our strengths. Start filling others with praise, appreciation. A simple thank you or good job or I love you goes a long way, more than we know. And you know, this Sarah is, I know she doesn't like me to bring her up, but she is a master of this. Like, I want to do this, I always forget. We're at a grocery store, Walmart, whatever, and she'll say, she'll call them by name, and it throws people off. You know, if the guy that's checking us out, his name is Johnny. I always use Johnny. Oh, there's no Johnny here. So, thank you, Johnny. He's like, how do you know? Oh. And all of a sudden, instant smile. Like somebody said my name. Somebody acknowledged, took the time to read my tag and say thank you. Not just a general thank you, but thank you, Johnny. That goes a long way. Have a blessed day. People are like, oh, yeah, have a good day. And I say, you have a blessed day. Oh, you have a blessed day, too. And sometimes when people, they're like, you have a blessed day, too. You know, they're like, they feel like they're going to get in trouble or something, you know. And maybe at their work they would. But then you see the smile that are on people's faces. That's why when you're talking to a brother or sister, and if I'm talking to another brother, you know, I didn't realize the power of just like, bro hug, you know, don't, be careful with Trevor. He likes to hold on a little bit too long. But, but it, you know, and Pastor too, he does that to me also. But just holding the shoulder, praying for somebody, be this person. Hey, how's it going? Well, you know, it's going pretty good, but I had this issue, and they explain it. You listen, give eye contact, and don't be, I'll be praying for you. Don't be the I'll be praying for you person. How about be the person who's going to pray right then and there? And sometimes when you say, well, let's pray about it, and then some people, right now? Like, right here? Yeah, you should have seen that guy at the airport. It was like I asked him, hey, take off your shirt. It was like he's like, right here? Like, right now? He's like so uncomfortable. He's like, look at him, man, there's a bunch of people around. You know? It's like, let's pray. Hey, repeat after me, man. Okay. Lord, I'm a sinner. You know, it's like he was so uncomfortable. That's okay though. You see the smile, and after that he's like, man, here's my Instagram account, here's my thing, direct message me. And I go, I forgot to ask you, are you coming or going? Like, are you going home? Are you, you know, we're going to California. And he's like, no, I live in Denton. Or I'm like, dude, yeah, we're going to talk. It's like so cool. Come visit us. So pray that he comes visit us. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So important. Who can give me a situation where you encourage somebody, participation here, guys, where you encourage somebody and you knew it was totally of the Lord? Any situation that anybody has? What? A time where you used your words, you encouraged somebody in the Lord. You're like, no, that's never happened. Anybody, come on.
I like your head.
Yes, go ahead.
Actually, today, one of the kids, Yvette's friend, anyway, he gave his life to the Lord just a little bit ago, and he lives kind of far away, so he doesn't really have any friends or whatever. So, anyways, he encouraged me, but then we were going to encourage him because he asked Yvette, "How's your mom doing?" Because he knows that he knows I haven't been doing well. So she videotaped us and. Which encouraged me that he even asked. This teenage kid is asking me how I'm doing. Mm. And so I told him, thanks, I'm doing really good. And so he was kind of telling me a little bit of his day. So we were able to say, Yvette and I were able to say, hey, what did we teach you to do? We taught you to pray. pray to the Lord and get in your word. What is it the Lord is telling you in the word? And he's like, oh, that's right. I gotta get into my word. And so that encouraged him to run to the Lord instead of, you know, running to us. But he encouraged me by just going out and asking how I'm doing. Then we were able to encourage him to get in the word and pray and run to the Lord. So that's what happened.
That's awesome. Yesterday. And that's it. We're going to be talking about that a little bit later here, is also that it's when you encourage and you're a good friend with somebody, it's also for you too. You know how many times I'm like, oh man, I got to talk to them. They look like they're kind of sad or down, whatever. You go and talk to them, and all of a sudden they're just like encouraging me. Like, I was like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that. And the Lord will do that sometimes, just like what had happened to you. Anybody else have anything similar? No? All right. Sure? Trevor?
It's not my gift.
All right, so let's move on to Q, right? We saw E, now it's the Q, quality time. What quality time do we make for our relationships? And again, I'm not talking about just friendships. It could be in your marriage. It can be, mother and son, mother and daughter, father and daughter, you know, all these different relationships that we have. Listen, this is probably the most precious commodity. I'm sure we all wish we can buy more time. The fact is, obviously, we can't. So in relationships, quality time is the time we invest our full, focused, and uninterrupted attention to somebody. Quality time isn't, hey, babe, we're going to have quality time. And, and Ava's going to be with us, you know. It's like, wait, how is that quality time for us? It's got to be a focused time. Quality time is so important. For the youth that were here, that we went through basically studying through proper biblical marriage, okay? This was one of the topics that we talked about big time. You want to grow in your relationship, communication, and quality time. And you can never, there's never a time where it's like, well, Sarah, honey, we've already maxed our quality time for the week. It doesn't work that way. As much quality time as you can get, you do. This may show by inviting somebody or a family over for dinner to fellowship. It could be a quick trip to a store. And my family knows, I do not like to go to the store by myself. I constantly ask Sarah. She's the first person. And if she doesn't want to go, it's like, well, why don't you ask Alex? Why don't you ask Ethan? And it's like, I start asking down the line. You know?
She doesn't like
it. And the little kids, it's a given. They will go. The little kids will go. Because they're thinking, I'm going to get something. Ethan will say, well, he's more like, where are we going? If it's to the store, he's like, I got a chance to get some, some candy corn. That's his candy of choice.
No, mom's
I know. Or if I say, oh, I'm going to Home Depot, he's thinking, that sounds like work. I don't think we're going to do that. So,
because of all the wood they have there and stuff.
And if I take the kids, I usually take one. Just take one, because that's quality time. You may think that quality time is, well, what's the big deal? You're going to, to Walmart. Well, we're in the car. We talk. How's your day? What's going on? You know, how are things going? Do you have any questions for me? What did you guys learn in Sunday school? What did you learn on Wednesday nights? It's a time to kind of, and there's, as a pastor, there's also, the Lord gives you application for things, And it's always whatever, it's so, cool. The Lord will do things in your life. That's why when pastor goes, well, you're flying, do you want to not do the R in grow, but maybe the O. And I was just like, I know the Lord's going to give me application on relationships once I go see my family out in California. So the Lord is really faithful with that. So it could be just a quick thing. A relationship is a great spiritual investment, not only for us, but more importantly, for the other person as well. So if you're taking notes, James 4, 13 through 17 says this. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to take such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Verse 16, but now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Verse 17, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Listen, if you call yourself a friend, if you call yourself a husband or wife, a mother, a father, okay, you have these responsibilities. And if you see somebody, okay, now just say even on the friend side, if you see somebody who has an issue or needs somebody to talk to, or you know that they're doing something wrong and you don't do anything, you are in sin yourself. This is not, you know, 1 Pablo chapter 1, okay? This is not my opinion. This is what the Word of God says. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So maybe the Lord is kind of prompting people in your mind going, man, I haven't really been a good friend to them, or I haven't really treated a certain person or a brother or a sister or a cousin, what have you. We need to be people that will have take the quality time with others. Okay, you, the understanding. You heard these phrases, they just don't understand me. I just don't understand them. You guys heard that before? Sometimes we use those phrases to get out of relationships. You know what? They just don't understand me. Hey, how come you don't talk to so-and-so? I just don't get them. They're weird. Or they act this way. You know? Really? Like, especially like in the body of Christ? Listen, this is a topic for us. We need, okay, if we're going to be the salt and light of the world, then it's got to start in the home, and then it's going to be in the local church. This is where it needs to happen. And if it doesn't happen here, how can we even say that we're going to go out and do these things if we're not doing them ourselves? Amen, brother, we need to talk to people, and amen, brother, we need to do this, and amen, brother, we need to do that, amen, we need to do this. All right, so what are we doing? Well, you know, I'm kind of busy, and I'm kind of, you know, I'm this or I'm that, or they just don't understand me, or I don't know how to talk to people. Maybe that is a big, and maybe you are so nervous to talk to other people. Are you so nervous to talk to people in the own body of Christ? How's it going? How you doing? And listen, and it's not a time to be fake. Because sometimes people do the church thing and they have the little, you know, they have the covering, you know, and they're just like, you know, everything's great. If you talk to somebody and it's always great and awesome, there's a problem. Because it isn't always great and awesome. Well, how are things going to work? It's great. I get along with everybody. If you get along with everybody, then there is a big problem. Because the only way you know that you are a true believer is when you have attacks and you have people talk about you. And it may even happen within the body of Christ. And then that's when we need to kind of open our eyes and say, we need to be above reproach. How many times have we used these phrases? They don't understand me. I just don't understand them. How many times have we used them for reasons to end a relationship? Showing understanding is not, I repeat, is not about answers, solutions, opinion, advice, pity, or pride. It's simply acknowledging the feelings and the emotions tied to that person's situation. See, I think this is my flaw. Raise your hand if somebody comes to you with an issue and you feel like you gotta try to help them fix it. That's actually like a flaw. Because sometimes the people just want you to listen. Not too long ago, there was somebody who they were having such a hard time with something. And as much as I wanted to open my big, I put my foot in my mouth sometimes. You guys know this. Oh, Sarah's laughing over there. I tell the youth some stories. I'll tell you a quick one. This one lady was telling me her child's name. And we had been joking around about different things. What is that? Ariana softball practice? And I go, oh, your baby's so cute. Da-da-da. It's a baby boy. I'm like, and we had been joking. And I said, well, what's your baby's name? And she's like, Ubo. And I go, Ubo, that's so stupid. Seriously,
oh my
what's
gosh.
His name?
Ted.
It's Ubo. Oh. After his father. Boom, 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 boom. I felt like, you know, I was like.
Oh, my gosh.
So can I put my foot in my mouth? So that's why sometimes it's okay just to listen and just listen. Just listen. You guys know Job. His friends were just giving, oh, maybe because you're in sin, maybe this, maybe that. And all Job wanted to do was just share with them. So this person that I'm talking about, they had such a hard time, and I just listened and listened and listened and listened and listened and listened. And I'm thinking, am I doing the right thing, Lord? Should I be saying something to this person? And then later on, this person said, I'm so glad you were just there to listen. That's all I wanted. Understanding. And it's not, again, and listen. When done correctly, understanding becomes a powerful relational asset. Keep in mind that certain situations cause different types of emotions. God gave us these emotions. However, just because you would act a certain way in a situation doesn't mean somebody else would act the same way. Because sometimes I'll be the first one to admit. It's like, you're feeling that way? Well, your feelings deceive you. You know, the heart is wicked. Don't you know what the word says? And that's probably not the best thing to say to somebody. Or I'll give you another foot in the mouth situation. My neighbor gets robbed, right? Yeah, Joe, the neighbor. Who said Joe?
Joe.
Oh, yeah, Joe.
I was about to say which one.
We don't like
Joe. I know. We don't like, nobody likes Joe. Poor Joe. No, we got to pray for Joe. Okay, so anyways, listen. So Joe, yeah, he got broken into early on when he moved in there. So I go and I pray, and it was a bad prayer. It was just like, you know, the Lord giveth and he's right? Well, again, you know, like, really? What's your problem? And I'm thinking, as I'm telling the prayer, I'm thinking, and then I probably was like, nah, nah, nah. You know, it's like, horrible, what am I thinking? Anybody else got a foot in the mouth story that they want to share? Mike? I'm just kidding. Mike was like,
oh. Are you trying to be a sin sipper here, Dad?
No. So.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. So listen, you got it from me. So if you see someone obviously saddened, you don't just walk up to them and say, stop being sad. The Bible says rejoice in all tribulations.
Wait, saddened?
You know, that probably wouldn't be a good thing. What?
You said saddened?
Yeah, if they're saddened about something.
Oh.
You know. So here we are. I'll give you a few verses here. Proverbs 18:2 says, a fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. Ooh. That's like a rusty butter knife in the heart. Romans 12:15 through 16 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. But of the same mind toward one another, do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. And Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get what? Understanding. Perfect. Investing. Okay. So this investing, this reminds me of what you said, Sean, last week when we were talking about the gold. It costs something. So when you invest in anything, it costs something. When you invest in a relationship with somebody, it costs something. Your time, your effort, it costs something. And it could even be money when you help somebody in need. So investing costs something. We have to be deliberate when it comes to investing in our relationships. Relationships cost something, but when done right, the rewards are eternal. Eternal rewards. Think of a garden. You don't just water them the first day you get them and leave them to do the rest by themselves, right? I know you and your daughters did a garden. You don't just one time and you're like, whew, let's just watch it grow. How about when the weeds come in? Do you say, they'll die. I'll just leave them there. And what do? The weeds suffocate the other plants, right? So there's work. You have to invest your time to go and you see them and you go, I'm going to tell you, how many times in our relationships do we see the weeds in our relationship and we don't take the time to take them out? We think, well, maybe in time things will get better. No. You go in and you take the weeds out. And the sooner you do it, the better off you are. I'll be the first one to admit, when things had festered in a relationship and I just, time heals all wounds. That's another dumb statement. Does time heal all wounds? It may heal some, but not all. So we have to be deliberate. You guys are so quiet tonight. I'm used to the youth, and they're just like chiming in. Why? Is it because there's other adults here? You guys aren't talking?
They were more quiet last week.
Yeah. What's going on over there? The NIU usually are the talker. Trevor, you definitely. And Trevor, you haven't dropped anything, so I appreciate it.
Actually, I'm.
You did? All right. He always drops something. So, anyways. We need to approach our relationships like a garden and keep watering. We shouldn't just share empty words, okay? We shouldn't share empty words. We should be sharing biblical truths. Listen, if I ask you a question about somebody that you're friends with, and I say, well, what do you guys talk about when you talk about the Lord? Well, I mean, we talk about other stuff. We talk about football. We talk about baseball. We talk about, okay, well, when do you guys talk about the Lord? Especially if that other person's a believer. There's something wrong with that picture. There should be edification in the Word of God. And, oh, how's your marriage? Oh, my marriage is great. This and that. Well, how's your prayer time together? How's when you read the Bible together? How's this? Well, you want to grow in your relationships? Invest. Encourage. Time. We should pour into others' lives as the Lord wants us by giving the gifts that we have to others. Koinonia. What is that? The giving of gifts. It's fellowship. So when you are fellowshipping, there's communication and it's the exchange of gifts. Romans 12, 6 through 10. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without what? Hypocrisy. Abhor, that means hate. What is evil? Does God call us to hate something? Yes. He wants us to hate sin. He wants us to hate evil. How do you overcome evil? With good. So verse 9 says, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Needs to be unity. Have you guys just looked around in this world? You turn on the news, there's no unity. There's some. There's a group of people. But you know that the divorce rate is higher now in the church than it is in the world? That makes me sick to my stomach. That should make all of us like, what is going on? And the last one here. Man, you guys are really quiet. It's not supposed to be just me talking. Well, I'll ask the questions. Here, I'll ask this question. And this is a tough one. I'll answer it. Kind of things going, but what would you change? You don't have to tell me what type of relationship it's in, what have you, but what would you change about, well, let's just talk about friendship. Make it easier. Think about your friends that you have, people that you call friends. What would be one thing that you would change about a relationship with one of your friends? Actually, you know what? Everybody's got a part of it. Let's go around the room here.
How would you trust my friends more?
Yes, you could trust your friends more? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Sean?
Oh boy, Travis.
That's the question.
In a friendship relationship, what would be, you don't have to say the other person's name, but what would be one thing that you would change? So I know what you would want. Actually, let's go back to Pastor Rob real quick. What would you change? You said you want to trust, but what would you actually change? I know you would want to trust them, but they would have to do something for you to trust them, right? What would you do to be a better friend to somebody else? Be more trusting? Okay.
I like the investing. I have a friend that card every holiday, every birthday. I think she knows every anniversary I've ever had. And I'm kind of a turnip. You know, if we talk, it's because she initiated it.
Gotcha.
Type thing. I think I would intentionally invest.
Man, there's so many things. I know you're looking at me, and I'm the next Sean. So. there's so many things I could think of, but I don't want to poach Sean's, but investing is a big thing, I think, for guys in general that we tend to struggle with. So, like, I'm really good at knowing my family's birthday, it's my anniversary, things like that I don't forget, but my sister's birthday, it's all forget. I know it sounds awful, but it's not on my phone. I'll forget my mom's birthday, which is really a self-involvement. I'll get so busy in life and then I'm not considerate of people and I don't think it's a big deal, but it's a big deal to them. So I think sometimes we just have this selfish glass on that we live in our own little siloed, self-reflected, self-righteous world. Mm-hmm. And we can't see other people's hurts, pains, struggles, feelings. And it's a big, you said it's a big problem in the world. I think it's a big problem in the church.
Yeah.
Probably even a bigger problem in the church than in the world, I would even argue. But anyway, I could go on a soapbox rampage.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Go for it. You looking at me?
Yeah.
Come on. Well, the problem is I don't have any friends. So.
Thanks, Kate.
Are you trying to go find a friend?
Yeah, I'm trying to find one. Well, to ask me if there's anything I'd change in a relationship, I guess. I mean, the only thing that comes to mind is just lost opportunities that I wish to go back and change, but.
So going forward, you would.
Try and capitalize on those, right?
Gotcha.
Okay. Kind of with investing, but like specifically with like communication and just being more opening up more easily.
Gotcha. Okay.
I would say their heart. I have my cousin. She's going through a lot of stuff right now, and so she calls me today, and I'm in the middle of doing 20,000 things, but she calls me today, and they're going through trying to get back together. They were going to get a divorce. Now they're not, and so I want to say, wake up, get your heart right with God first, and then your marriage will come, you know, communicate with your husband. I know that me and Jesse, we talk 24/7, 7 days a week, but their marriage has just been falling apart, and her heart is just broken, and I wish
So what would you do? What would you do for her that you're not doing right now? What would you change about it?
Be supportive.
Supportive, okay.
Very supportive.
Gotcha.
And I'm not right now.
Gotcha. So you, the understanding part, okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
Not to piggyback off of what Sean was saying. Like you said, I think that's a big thing for men. For me, I would call it follow through. You know, there's that saying, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Because I'm kind of that guy, I'll think of things like, oh man, so-and-so's doing good, or hey, I should reach out to this person, and I don't. You know, I get sidetracked, swirl, yeah. You know, yeah. Or something, yeah, and next thing you know, it's 2 weeks later, and, you know, whatever they're going through has changed, or, you know, so it's really follow through. Yeah.
Okay. Sarah? Like, do I have to talk?
Well, I think people have already said the kinds of things I would say, that the investment.
Okay.
And also being willing to share a little bit more about of yourself, because the things that you go through are, they, you might feel like they're just yours, but they're not, you know, like,
yeah.
All the same. And when other people have, like, shared their things with us, then it's been...
You're reaching out to people, especially ones that aren't my immediate interactions. Like, you know, I have a really good friend from growing up years that I haven't talked to in years, but it's a long distance relationship now, so it's hard to, just haven't been, ever been good at it. But, you know,
it's hard to invest when somebody's kind of far away, right? And sometimes we have to realize technology, too, kind of helps us out, you know. But sometimes you just feel like, because I can talk to my relatives in California. If I want, I can pick up the phone. I can FaceTime them. I can, but there's like this thing that's like, well, they're all the way in California, you know. But I get it. Cool. Just sharing.
Oh, I think it's all of these things wrapped together, but I think of priorities, making them more of a priority. And that goes along with investing in, Sarah tagged on to her, fear of rejection. I think sometimes you hold back being friends because of fear of rejection.
I appreciate that. Yeah, it's true. It's
fear
of rejection. That's why a lot of people don't even like evangelize or want to, because of the fear of rejection, you know? So that's a good point. That's a good point. Kelly?
Communication. You know, I've got friends here. I've got people at work that are acquaintances. So my friends here, I should be communicating more with. Like Jesse said, follow up. And when you communicate and you follow up, then you have that fellowship.
Trevor doesn't feel so bad now.
It was his phone. It's ringing.
You know, that's a big thing for me, and I just agree with Pastor Robert, because for me, trusting is a big thing too. So for me to be able to communicate and follow up, I really have to have that trust there. And if I don't have that trust, then it's going to make it harder for me to do that. So that's something that I think that if I were to change, it would be communicating to allow that trust to follow up.
Gotcha. Yeah, because even when you start new relationships, you really do have to step out in faith sometimes, because there is that fear of, you know, am I sharing too much, or, you know, personal stuff, is it going to come back to bite me, kind of thing. So I get it. Okay, everybody on the center. Okay, Ruthie. Time's up, Jeremy. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, I think trust is kind of like a big thing for everybody, but I feel like for me personally, to be more like transparent, you know, and like if I'm gonna share something with you, like I'm trying to think of the word for it, but if I'm gonna share something with you and not have to like expect you to do the same for me, but still be able to like just be open, you know.
Gotcha.
I'm not like, I don't feel like I'm a super open person, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be beneficial to attention.
Gotcha. Okay.
Trevor.
So with Robert, what I would change? No, for me, you know what's funny is that we were just talking, me and Ruthie were just talking about this today, but like my words, like, I don't really encourage people. Like, I wasn't joking about that, but like, it's just not one of my, it's uncomfortable for me to like encourage people, you know?
You do encourage people.
Well,
talk later.
But yeah, I think it just is, you know, like, it's not one of my things where I'm like, hey, let me, you know, and at work I struggle with the same thing. So I think for me, it's just the words I choose to use and how I choose to use them, because it's like a constant effort daily for me to be like, okay, this guy's coming in today, and I gotta be able to like tell him what the good things he's doing is, and not, because I'm very critical. I'm like, I don't need to tell you you're doing a good job if you're doing your job, because I'm paying you to do this, you know. So, and I take that mentality with everything. So like, I think for me, it's just, I would change, like, I guess how I speak to people, words I use, because it's really easy for me to like just chop people down and tear things down, you know.
Cool.
So I'm sorry about what I said earlier.
It's alright.
Alright,
Alex.
For me, I would say like, I would probably say like trust, but also like to be more open, because like, I've got some friends like in at work and in Special Olympics that I feel like I'm just not really open to many of them in that sense, as far as like how should I say this? I don't know. I'm just not that. I don't think I'm that person that's always like, oh, how are you doing? Or like, how's your day going? And all of this stuff. Like, for me personally, I think I would want to be more open to people, as far as like, not just in terms of like friendships or relationships, but like I would want to especially be open to people who may not know the Lord like I do. So,
gotcha.
And also, the good thing about me being at work is that because Chick-fil-A is like,
really
it's
good.
Like really no, because it's really good as far as like their service,
yeah.
And
yeah,
that their
awesome.
Beliefs are like Christian based and all that, it's like it's safe for me to like talk about the Lord and all that, and most of my friends at work do know the Lord, so you know, it's kind of made me ever since I've been working there, I was like, I don't know, I guess I started to become more comfortable with like, if I wanted to talk about the Lord while working, then I feel free to do it. I just sometimes get a little nervous, because like, we all have that feeling, especially
yeah.
as Christians. But for me personally, as far as what I would want to change for a person is like, just to like understand what they're going through and like where their heart might be at, as far as like, you know, especially in their relationship with the Lord and stuff. I just want to be more loving and open and caring to them, because I don't know, that's what Jesus would do. He didn't really care about like if people were mean to him and all that. So I would want to have that same attitude towards any friend, whether they know God or not.
Amen.
Because it doesn't even matter what people may think of me. So I just want to be able to change that perspective of my friendships with everybody that I've basically known for quite some time.
That's cool.
You know?
Awesome. Hannah.
I think I would change just wanting to be able to say the things to my friends that like they might not necessarily want, like when they're not Christian and they come to me for advice. Like I feel like the things that I feel like I know would be best for them, I don't say because I'm afraid that they'll get angry or they'll take it wrong. And I think I need to like love them enough to be willing to have them get angry at me, and like for our relationship to like maybe suffer in a sense so that they could come to know God, which is better than anything I could give them. So.
Amen. Good comfort. There is such thing as good confrontation. I appreciate that. Thank you.
And it's not fighting or anything.
No.
Because that's what people think of confrontation is just fighting.
I would say quality time with my family, especially my mom.
Aww. 1, 2, 3.
Aww. Says the kid who's on his Xbox most of the time and by himself.
Awesome. Good answer.
Blame me. Every time I say something, I always feel like, says. Like, but, because. Spend a lot of time with Ava and Elijah either because I just get frustrated with them a lot.
Elijah, I can understand. Ava, come on.
Well, you should be at our house for a day.
Ava can be a bit spoiled sometimes.
And so, yeah, I just want them to know that I care, and I just feel like I need to show that more in spending more time with them.
Cool.
I would probably say being there more for people, because with some of my friends, I'm always there when they're going through bad times, good times, or when they just need someone to talk to. And I'm only like that with a certain amount of friends. Other people are just like, okay, I'll hear your problems, and I'm just like, sorry. So I want to be more open to helping them and helping them overcome whatever it is that they're going through. Like I said, with certain friends, I always do that, and other people are just like, okay, good luck. So that's what I would change.
So I'll probably like dig into more of the communication, but not just communicating, but listening, not just hearing what somebody has to say, but actually taking it in, taking it to heart.
So understanding.
Yeah, because there's been countless times where I pretty much what Leanna just said, where I would just hear what they have to say and kind of push it on. And I really wish I could have listened and helped people out. Oh, you're going through this, I'm sorry. And actually be there for them.
Cool.
I think everybody, I agree with everybody. I think a little bit of what everybody said. Mm-hmm. So like for me, I pursue my family at home. So I'm always trying to, you know, get all those dates in. And I think that I get caught up in my own little bubble that I don't pursue people outside of my home. And so one of them would be pursuing my friends and being able to encourage them, but also receiving the encouragement from them, because that's what happens when you pursue. Mm-hmm. But also a follow-up also, because I can, like with Ruthie, her prayer request. And we say we pray, but then I forget sometimes to follow up. Mm-hmm. And so like your cousin has been on my heart because I don't know what had happened. And so I want to be able to follow up on those prayer requests. Mm-hmm. Or when people ask you to pray, and then you kind of pray about it, and then you just don't even know what happened after that. Like, just if you're really understanding, we need to really care, then we need to show them that we care. So I need to learn to pursue and ask, hey, what happened? What what happened, you know, what's going on. And so that's where I need to work on.
Gotcha. Okay. Sarah? No, I'm going to go too, so you're not the last one.
I would say investing, but I would say investing without expecting anything in return. I think that's like where I might be like, I don't know, I'll invest, but like I don't know how much I'm going to invest, because if I'm not going to get anything back, then maybe I just won't. So, and not that I intentionally think I'm only going to invest in people who invest back into me, but like sometimes it gets discouraging or I get tired. Like relationship for me is hard work, and I get tired, and I'm just like, that's too much work. I'm just gonna,
because you have five kids,
I'm not gonna do it anymore. But to be able to continue in that, even when you might not be getting anything in return, and just continue in it and not grow weary.
Relationships are hard. It takes time, effort, and it's a challenge. I almost forgot. You're hiding over there. I see Mike going like this, pointing. Eric?
Eric's too busy fumbling phones.
Hey, your crank caller's knocked over the phone.
I didn't know you were even recording.
Just put me in a box, too. This is going to sound like a Friday night men's fellowship answer, but I honestly thought the same thing Mike did. It's getting back.
Nice. You guys are using each other as scapegoats, man.
I'm in church, I'm not lying. But no, it's doing that follow-up and checking on people, even when a prayer request comes in, seeing how they're doing, what if anything else needs prayer about, or I'll see you Wednesday, okay, I'll see you Sunday, but there's other days in the middle of that week, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. don't know if something's going on with another, you know, even today, like, you know, Pastor Pablo texted me today, hey, how are you doing, how's everything, Pastor Robert did the same thing, hey, how is it going, and you know, that today was very busy, but at the same time, I should be able to reach back out and say, hey, I'm doing well. How are you doing? So it's that giving back of oneself to another to do a checkup and don't let time go by. And not segregating anyone. You know, segregation can really hurt somebody, and you really don't want to, you know, leave them out. It's always good that you know, out of the blue, you can get that text from somebody, hey, you were on my mind, how is everything?
Yeah.
So that, in turn, can encourage somebody when they need it, you know, when they need it most. But segregation, I see a lot that the enemy tries to use. When you're trying to grow in relationships,
yeah.
Friends, marriage, new relationships, whatever it is, mm-hmm. You definitely don't want to segregate.
Yeah. Cool. And I think the one for me that sticks out like a sore thumb is, I think it was a couple years ago at a men's breakfast. It was in January, and it was actually the same day that we had our water pipe bust. So I guess that was 2016?
Yeah.
January?
No.
Yeah.
17.
Oh, 17. Okay. I remember sharing with the brother, and I was like, you know what? And you know, I was actually sharing with a couple of brothers, and I said, I need to invest more. I need to, what we wanted to do, and Sarah and I talked about this, is just once a month invite a family or a friend just to come over and have a meal. And just, hey, you know, and talk. Just like, not in like a church setting, but just talk, you know? Have a couple of hours of just talking. How are you doing? How's it going? You know? And I try to text people, I try to do these things, and I just forget, and I forget a lot of things, you know? But I think the main thing, it's like, yeah. But I think it's more of investing face-to-face time. I think, you know, isn't it different when you talk to somebody face-to-face? You know?
Don't get too close to their face, though.
Yeah, everybody's got their bubble. That's right. Last one, and we'll end here. I know we went a little bit longer. Is the P in equip is both prayer. Because listen, ultimately, we need to give it to the Lord, right? We need to be asking the Lord and praying. If there is a person that you're having an issue with, you need to be praying. And if there's somebody that's like, I don't want them to be my friend, but they need the Lord, and you're just going to pray with them, then you need to pray, because it's easier. If you're praying for somebody, it's harder for you to hate them. Bottom line. But if there's, you know, even praying good things. I think what happens is that we use prayer as a last resort. Wrong. It's like, oh, everything's going good. Everything's going good. It's like, oh, what? They said what? No. And Lord, please just cause something in their life. Change their mind. You know, it's like we pray for like harm on people so that it can be easier for us. Or we pray because it's our last line of defense. It is our front line defense. We go in and we need to be praying more. We need to be people of prayer. And I'm not saying we're not. I'm just saying, how often do we pray? How often do we pray? Think about it. Especially for our relationships. Husbands, are you praying for your wives and with your wives? Ladies, are you praying for your husband and with your husband? Think about it. Are you praying for your friends and with your friends? Man, going out to California, really, I'm thinking, man, all my nieces and nephews, they were so hungry for fellowship. And I just thought, oh, they're older. They probably, I'm just the old guy, you know. They don't want, I'm not cool anymore. I'm just, you know. And they were just like, I had a couple of, one of my nephews, he would not leave my side. It was so cool. I'd get up and say, he's like, hey, are you thirsty, Theo? You want something? Aww. This and that. He was just like, he wanted, and I was just like, phew. And I'm talking to this kid, and there was another one of my nephews that he came up to me, and he was just like, he goes to a Christian college, and he goes, man, we, in the college, we're like, you know, the Lord, yeah, praise the Lord, and then outside, it's a different story. And he goes, he's like, I know you're busy, I know you got five kids, and you're working, all that, but, like, from time to time, can I text you? I'm like, dude, anytime, you call me, you text me, And I will do my best to be there for you. And his face just, and people are hungry for just fellowship. And this is the kind of the downside of even being a pastor, is that people think that you're not approachable. And I want to just crush that stigma that people, what people think, you know? Or maybe it's like, well, that person's, you know, more mature in the Lord than me, so I'm not going to go to them. No, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. We need to be, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
It's kind of how I felt with Pastor Robert when I was younger. Like, I was like, oh, he's the pastor. I can't talk to him. But I've been trying to talk more with him lately. Because there
good.
Should be a boundary between the pastor of a church and his, let's call it, the people of the church.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you feel like he's going to shut you down? He's never going to say, I don't have time for you, you know? So we...
Here's a real question. Can we call either one of you at like 2 o'clock in the morning?
No. You can. You can. I'll be asleep. You better leave a message, you know? Yeah, we'll call you back for sure. But listen, I want to end with this. I know we went a little bit longer, guys. I love talking about this. We can literally do a series on different types of relationships. Man, this is a topic that's really near and dear to my heart. But I'll go through the physical touch real quick. It says, science tells us that infants who are touched gently on a regular basis gain weight and grow faster than babies without physical contact. Being touched by another person can trigger a chemical response in our bodies and relieve stress, pain, create feelings of security and happiness. And listen, I could be driving in the car and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this and that and this and that. And then all Sarah has to do, she doesn't know what's going on in my brain. She just touches my leg or she'll touch my arm.
While you're driving?
While I'm driving. Now, she goes and just touches my leg or touches my arm or she'll rub my shoulder. And there's just like, just so relaxing.
But when I do it, it's weird.
So, yeah, when Trevor does it, it's weird. You've been touching it, man. Okay. What do they do when babies are born? What do they immediately do with the baby? Yep. Boom.
Breastfeed them.
No, they don't do that right away. But they put the baby skin to skin, right?
Yes.
Why do they do that? Because studies have shown that they have way less SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome, in kids that have immediate skin-to-skin contact with their mother. I was going to say with their parent, but no, with their mother. There's something about that. That's why I'm saying a handshake, a what's going on, a pat on the back, or you know, with you ladies, a hug, a bro hug. There's something about that that shows somebody that you care. And you might say, well, I don't like a hug or whatever. Well, then that's when you communicate that for a better relationship with that person. You get it? So, real quick, I'm with this. And then we'll pray. Less than five minutes before my dad's service on Monday, the chaplain, I had talked to the chaplain, and he's a funny Filipino guy, and I know some Tagalog, so I was messing with them and whatever. And he's just like, hey, he's like, I was praying with my niece at the time. And then he's like, hey, you brother in the Lord? I go, yeah. And he's like, do you know people here, right? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, are you friend or family? I'm like, I'm family. And he's like, oh, okay. He's like, I said, well, that's, you know, my dad that passed. And he's like, oh, man. He's like, brother, can you do, I would love. He's like, I never do this, but it would be great if there was a family member that closed in prayer at the end. And I was like, let me go ask my, I'll do it. You know, I'm not prepared. And he's like, it doesn't matter this time. He's like, can you do that? I go, let me go ask my sister. I go and ask my sister and her husband. And they said, absolutely, not a problem. Yeah, please, we would love that. I said, okay. Because my sister was the one and her husband that set up the whole thing. And so prayed, gave an altar call, and more than 20 people accepted the Lord, including one in particular, a gentleman, that who was a outspoken, devout atheist. Outspoken, hardcore, like, boom. And I'm telling you, the Lord, it's kind of funny because I was praying and there were certain people that not really that the Lord put on my heart, but I was like, I think if I talk to them, I'm going to spend some time with them. And then those were the people that actually were like, dude, just be over there. Don't come to me with that stuff. And it was the ones that I thought, no way, were the ones that were like, what? What? How do I get to know this Jesus? What do I need to do? Absolutely amazing. And there is no like, oh, great job. No, this was the Lord. And I was talking to Miss Sherry about how I can't even explain to you, and I was telling Sarah too, I can't even explain to you. I don't hear audible voices, okay? I'm not crazy. I don't hear Pablo talk to him, you know? I don't hear these voices. It was just like this bizarre, like, talk to that person and you better focus. Like, Pablo, you are squirrel. You better focus. You better give eye contact. You better, if somebody comes up, there was many times where people came up and they were like trying to, and I was like, hey, I'll talk to you in a little bit here. I'm talking to them real quick. I'll go find you. oh, okay, yeah, all right. And they go off. And then I thought, okay, remember, talk to that person. Remember, talk to that person. And it was just like, and Sarah was like, why aren't you texting me? Why aren't you returning my call? It was nonstop. Like, I kept on asking people, when they're like, is there anything I can do for you? Can you give me water? And it was like, that's like the 10th bottle of water you drank. Because I was talking so much. And I would go to bed at night just exhausted. And then I'm thinking, this is nothing compared to what the apostles had did. My back is not broken. I got a suitcase, and if I get my clothes dirty, I can go put something else on. Did the apostles have the disciples? Did Paul? He was beaten, and he was, he just... It was hard for him. He couldn't just put on another shirt. He would go minister to people, and he was probably filthy. He was bloody, and he still went out there. And I was just like, here, Lord, I'm complaining, or I'm like, oh, I'm so exhausted. Like, and it's like, woe is you, you know? Big deal. I mean, I'm not saying it is a big deal, but in comparison, listen, guys, establish relationships. Go out. Be a good friend. Be a good child. Be a good mother, father, brother, sister, cousin, aunt, uncle. Be these things. And don't just say these things. And I'm talking to myself here. Because I think what we do is we, oh, that sounds nice. And we come in on Sunday and we go, oh, yes, amen, Pastor Pablo. Amen, Pastor Robert. Amen, amen. And then we go out. Oh, it didn't work out so good. We need to invest. We need to encourage others, right? We need to encourage. We need to have quality time. We need to be understanding. We need to invest. And we need to pray. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this time. Lord, we thank you for, Lord, this whole grow discipleship process. Lord, the only way we can be good disciples is if we have a relationship with you and that we have relationships with others. That's it. We can't disciple others if we don't have a good relationship with you. And if we don't have a good relationship with you, how in the world are we going to be good friends to others and disciple them as well? So Lord, I pray that you would prompt hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would just help us, remind us of these things. This world is a dying, corrupt place. And we're just passing through, but we need to do our part here. We're just visiting. But even in that visitation, even in the time we are here visiting, we got a job to do. And it's not out of obligation. It is out of a respect for you as a response, Lord, because you saved us. We are destined for hell, and yet you gave us a free gift of salvation. Lord, we can't outgive you, but what we can do is have a response of thankfulness to say, what do you have me to do? So, Lord, when we wake up tomorrow morning, if you choose to give us another day, I pray that we would say, Lord, make us uncomfortable in our walks. Make us uncomfortable to the point that you bring somebody and there's that opportunity that we have to talk and minister to people. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we love you. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Listen, if you're here and you're probably thinking, you know what? Maybe I'm not a good friend. Maybe I didn't think I was a good friend like I thought I was. Maybe there was that area that we need to rededicate our lives to the Lord to. So if you're here and you're saying, I know the Lord, I love him, but you're saying, Lord, I want to rededicate my life to you. I want to be a better friend. I want to be a better husband, wife, cousin, neighbor, what have you. And you say, Lord, remind me, I need to work at these things. So if you're here, and again, you want to rededicate your life in that area, in that relationship area, raise your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Anybody here who wants to do that? Lord, thank you for those that have raised their hand to rededicate their lives in this area. I pray, Lord, that you would grow them in this area as only you can, that we wouldn't do it in our own strength, but we would do it because we have you. You come alongside us. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. And Lord, thank you that you are faithful when we are not. You are such an awesome God. So Lord, we give you our lives, Lord, to our very last breath. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen.